God never ceases to amaze me. He really does. He never ceases to amaze me. I've had a little scratchy throat and so forth and so on going on. Debated whether or not even to come to church this morning, but I wanted to come because I knew Brother Will was going to be preaching and I wanted to hear that. And I thought, well, if I had to stand at the back door and stick my head in, I wanted to be here. And I'm thankful that I got to come this morning. Thankful I got to hear his message, and I believe God gave him that message this morning.
Amen.
And it was good for me, and I know it was good for the Christians. And I was thankful for that message, Brother Will. You did a good job with it. And God blessed it. Amen. And I think people are, if they're obedient, God will bless. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says, come to this reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. They be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. And then he goes on and he says, if thou be willing and obedient. You get that? If thou be willing and obedient, thou shalt eat the good of the land. Have you been willing? Have you been obedient? Well, that question is going to you tonight, okay? It's going to me too, because I'm sitting over there. God put on my heart that to sing, and I'm no singer, okay? Y'all know that. But God put on my heart to sing, there's coming a day. I started throwing all kinds of excuses back at God saying, no, I can't do that. I've got the scratchy throat. They don't want to hear me sing. I'm not a singer. I can't do those kinds of things. But guess what? God provided.
Amen.
Because I'd done made up my mind. I was sitting over there and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to sing that. Lo and behold, he stands up and sings a song. God will provide. If thou be willing and obedient, thou shalt eat the good of the land. However, there's a but in there. Next verse says there's a but. But if thou refuse and rebel, thou shalt be taken with the sword of the word of God. You see, that's what happens to us a whole lot of times. We want to eat the good of the land, but we don't want to be willing and obedient. Somebody help me out. Praise God. Listen, that's where we're at. That's where we're at as a church. When everyone is willing and obedient, you'll have one of those services where the preacher never gets up to preach. And everybody goes home, man, what a service. Woo, boy, wasn't that good down there that night. Amen? Amen. Praise God. If you want to get the devil off your back, be willing and obedient.
Amen.
Amen. He will write. Listen, he's mad. The devil's mad. He's aggravated because, let me tell you something, God has stolen from his breadbasket.
Amen.
See, we're lost. We're lost when we first come. Before we come to Jesus Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior, we're lost. We belong to Satan. We belong to him. We belong. We're on his side. And then every time the Word of God is preached, every time that message goes out and someone says, I'm going to serve the Lord, someone walks that aisle, someone takes that first step, and they get up here and they say, I'm going to serve the Lord. Praise God. You know what? Man, Satan gets mad. He's mad, Greg. He's mad because you're a child of the King right now. Amen?
Amen.
He's mad at that. He doesn't like that. Amen? And he's going to do whatever he can. He's going to try to come at you. Oh, those fiery darts he's going to keep throwing at you. Don't think he's going to quit. He'll stay after you until they plant you in the ground. But I'm going to tell you what. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because what he did up on the cross, praise God, makes us winners either way. Amen? We're a winner here tonight. Amen? So have you been willing? Have you been obedient? I'm going to give you a little time. We're in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And I feel good tonight. Amen? Praise God. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. Okay, I guess you've been willing and obedient. Chapter 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanliness, nor of guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. I want you to focus in on that right there. That's what I've got highlighted here. You just jump right out of it. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. We're going to stop right there. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we think, it either pleases God or it displeases Him. Everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think, it either pleases God or it displeases God. That's where we're at with this right now. And I want to ask you tonight, are we pleasing God? Are we pleasing God with our testimonies? Are we pleasing God with our prayer life? Are we pleasing God with our reading at home? You see, there's more to church than just coming in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and getting fed.
Amen.
Yeah, I know you depend on that a whole lot. I depend on that a whole lot. But there's more to it than that. You need to pick up the book. Amen? You need to pick up the book. When the devil gets on you, don't wait until he just beats you down to the ground. Get in the book before that happens. Get in the book before that happens, and that's going to please God.
Amen.
That's going to please Him. That's going to make God happy. Now, the devil doesn't want you to do that. The world doesn't want you to do that. The world's going along with everything and anything that goes on anymore. Amen? That's just the way it is. That's what they do. One of the things about pleasing God, I said it either displeases God, everything we say, think, or do, either pleases God or displeases God, but how much thought do we put into those things before we say them? Do we think about pleasing God before we send out a text message to our friend? Do we think about pleasing God before we spout off at the mouth of somebody that's going through the drive-thru and, oh, God, I wish they'd hurry up so I could get in there? Or somebody pulls out in front of us, you know, and we just, little road rage kicks in, and you're saying, oh, I wish, they need a driver's license or whatever, you know. Go back to school and go get the test again. Amen? Are we pleasing God before that happens? You know, we're not really. You know what happens most of the time? I'll tell you what happens because it happens to me. I'm preaching to myself today. Praise God. I'll tell you what happens a whole lot of times. We don't think about it before it happens. We think about it after it happens. I think about it after it happens. I think about, okay, man, I sent that message. I wish I hadn't sent that. Because they might not read that the way I'm really thinking it, you know. Or they might read something in that, and, hey, he's mad, or he's upset, or he's aggravated. You know, things we say, do, and think, it affects how God looks at us. Whether we're pleased, whether he's pleased with us, or whether he's not pleased with us. And we need to start thinking about our comments and our actions and our thoughts and things before we send them, before they go out. Amen? Kind of keep that in mind. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. That's just back one book. Colossians chapter 1. Let's pick it up in verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I like this verse right here. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now that message right there, it says right there in verse 10, it says that we might walk. Now that's not talking about a physical walk down the road. That's talking about how you live. That's talking about how you live, that you might live. Just put that word, I'm not one about replacing words, but that's what the apostle was referring to there. That we might live worthy of the Lord. See, it's not about, you might come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you might live a Christian life. I don't know how you live. I don't know how you live when you get home. I don't know what you watch on TV. I don't know what, praise God, I don't know what kind of movies you go to. Praise God. Listen, let me tell you something. I want you to do something for me. Ask God if He's pleased with you before you go turn on that TV set and watch that television show. I got one amen. Praise God. Ask God before you do something and see if it's right. See if it's right with Him. See if He's pleased with you. You know, it's not about pleasing Brother Ray or the pastor. It's about pleasing Him.
Amen.
That's all in the world that matters. I'm telling you, church, that's all in the world that matters. You know, there's things I've done I've been sorry for, but there's also things I've done that I know that pleased God and people didn't like, and I don't care if they don't like it.
Amen. Come
on. I don't care if they don't like it. If I'm pleasing God, that's really all that matters. It's not about pleasing men. It's about pleasing God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And that's what He's saying there, that we might live, that we might walk in that way and be fruitful. In other words, we might show some fruits for our labors. Amen. Being fruitful means that there's something to show for it. Amen. If a tree doesn't have any fruit, the Bible says you should dig it up, okay? And the Lord says, oh, don't dig it up and burn it, but dig it up and put a little dung around it, praise God, and then they see what will happen to it. Praise God, God is like that with us because He's long-suffering, He's patient, and He's waiting for us to just step out on our faith for Him. Amen. Praise God. Let's look on down there. Giving thanks, being strengthened with all might. When I read these words today, and what Greg has said already in his testimony tonight, you know, that's where we gain our strength by coming in here and being together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. And that much more as you see that day approaching. You see that day approaching, don't you? You see a country that used to be, see, that's what the prophet Isaiah is talking about. Come, reason together, saith the Lord. That's what he's talking about. He can take your sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west. He can take your sins and though they be as red, may be really bad. But he can cast them away. He can make them as white as snow. That's what God can do. Amen. And then when he does that for us, we're all happy and we're all shouting and everything. And then 2 days later, the devil's on our back.
Amen.
Huh? Some of you know what I'm talking about. He's mad, church. He doesn't want you to be happy. He wants to convince you that this thing's all a hoax. Amen. The devil wants to convince you that the serving the Lord Jesus Christ and making Him your Savior and your Lord is all a hoax. He doesn't want you to know those things. Praise God. But we gather our strength when we come together, one mind accord. We gather our strength when we get in the book, Brother Jeremy,
Amen.
And we find out something that God reveals to us and we shout all over the house, praise God, just knowing that God is with us. Hallelujah. That's what we get from that. We need to understand that the Lord needs to be pleased with it. Why? Why? Let me ask you a question. Why should we walk? Why should we live for the Lord? We want to please Him. All comes down to just pleasing God. Amen. Why should we want to please Him? Well, to start with, He made us, Brother Garrett.
Amen.
He made us. The Bible says that He took the dust out of the ground and He breathed the breath of life. And there something happened, didn't it?
Amen.
Became a living soul. Became a living soul. We got part of God in us. You didn't get that, did you? We got part of God in us. And when He breathed the breath of life into man, He put His spirit, His breath over into man, praise God. And Adam's spirit was passed on down to us. We know that. We got that sinful nature, Brother Jeremy, and that's where that come from Adam. Praise God. But before that happened, God breathed that breath of life. And the Bible says that He would walk down in the cool of the day, Brother Anthony, and He'd take walks with Adam. Woo! Lord. Can you think of that? Think of that. See, God can't do that now because sin, like you said this morning, has separated us from God. But at that point in time, you know, they could walk down and take that trip, take that little stroll down through the garden. And I could just imagine them doing it, praise God. And just have conversation one-on-one with God. Don't you look forward to the day that you'll be able to take that stroll and walk down that, oh glory, when you can walk down that road and walk through heaven on the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper, and you can just take that stroll down through there with the one that died and redeemed us by His blood. Praise God that He gave His life on Calvary that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Well, that's what's going to happen, my friend, because there's never going to ever be a day when sin is ever going to enter into heaven anymore.
Amen.
That's not going to happen anymore. Praise God. Listen, it said that even the angels that sinned, God spared them not and cast them into hell. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. If God spared not the angels, He'll not spare anybody any sin down here.
Amen.
Take that to heart today. But we should be wanting to please God because He's redeemed us. He's made us. He's made us and He's redeemed us. He's sent His Son upon the cross of Calvary that He might die. His blood would be shed for you, be shed for me. You see, when God looks down at me and He looks at Danny Dameron, He doesn't see how righteous I am, how good I am, or how bad I am. He looks at me through the blood of the Lamb. He looks at me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you remember what? You remember what God said when He looked down and He seen Jesus when He come up? Said the Spirit of the Lord come down. And it said that the Spirit of the Lord come down. And He said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." You see, that's the way Jesus looks at you. Praise God. If you're one of His children and if you're obeying Him, you're doing what He wants you to do. If you're willing and you obey, that's what Jesus looks at. And He looks at and says, "Hey, He's one of mine. Oh, I've stumbled. I fell. I've been all over the rock too, Brother Greg. I've been everywhere. But I'm going to tell you something. I've never let go of that rock." Amen. Praise God. I'm going to hang on to it until the end. Hey, that's what Jesus, that's also another thing that pleases God, is our endurance. Hallelujah. It says that he that endures unto the end yet shall be saved. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something, church. If we will endure unto the end, oh, glory, we got a home in heaven waiting on us. We got a mansion, praise God. It's up there in heaven. We got that opportunity to get there. Listen, and it's not all that hard. We think we make it a lot harder than what it really is. Oh, well, I got to be good, and I got to obey this commandment. I got to obey that commandment. Let me tell you something. You are saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, praise God. It is a gift that's been handed to you, praise God. And sometimes we will stumble. Sometimes we will fall. But I'll tell you something, church. Jesus Christ, He's already paid it all. He's already gone to the cross of Calvary. And He said that He once died. He's not going to come back and die again. Praise God, He's already died for the sins of mankind. He took it all upon His throat. Upon His shoulder. And He said, "I'll take their place. I'll take Danny's place. I'll take your place, Greg." That's what He did for us. "Take your place, Benji." That's what God said. It's what God said. I'll send Him and He'll take your place. He'll take your place on the cross of Calvary. See, we all deserve death and we all deserve to die. But see, He made that we might have be able to have life. He's not only redeemed us, but He's called us and He's blessed us, praise God. But we have a little problem. We have a little problem with pleasing God. And listen, this is not an easy thing to preach, but I'm going to preach it anyway because it's what God gave me. We go out wanting to please ourselves instead. See, we want to please ourselves before we please God. We want to please others before we please God. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Never given a thought to whether what I was doing was pleasing God or not. You see, I need to give that thought to whether what I do in every decision I make, whether it's financial, whether it's whatever it is in life, that it pleases God first and foremost. The Bible says, "But seek ye first," what? "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." What did He say you do? All of these things He'll be added unto you. He'll take care of the rest of it. But we've got to seek Him first. That pleases God, that we put Him first on the agenda. But we're human. We have a nature about us. We have a nature about us that wants to please ourselves first. Amen. Danny has a nature about him that wants to please himself first. I can't help that. It's in me. It's in you. But I tell you what, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service." He's not expecting more out of us than what we can do, praise God. He wants that's our reasonable service. That we present our bodies, pleasing unto God. That we present ourselves and say, "God, I want to please you first and foremost. I want to please you more than anything else. I want to please you more. I want to please you more than even I want to please my family." Whew. That is so hard. That is so hard for everybody. But that's our nature, that we want to please ourselves and we want to please others. But you know, God wants us to please Him first. And if we please, when we please Him first, what did He say you do? He'd add all these other things to us, didn't He? He'll take care of the family. Amen. It says, "I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread." Praise God. I believe that tonight. Amen. I'm a walking testimony to that. But I want you to know we need to work on that. Let me give you a little example. On the job, we want to please our employer most of the time. We want to please our employer. We want to please our boss, our employer, our boss, our supervisor, whoever it might be. Why do we do that? Come on now. There's a reward waiting, right? Oh, I might get moved up the ladder. I might get promoted. I might get a pay raise. I might get a pay. Hey, there's a motive behind this. Come on, stay with me now. Don't lose me. I might get something out of this if I please my boss. If I really work hard and I go along with him, and I might get something out of that. What do you think God thinks? Did the Bible say that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? In other words, you put God first, and then He says over there, and God, let me tell you something, church. This is an ongoing process. When you get saved, that's just step one. Huh? That's the biggest step. That's the biggest step right there. That is the most important step that you will ever take in your life, is getting saved. But once God saves you, then God puts a heart about you that, hey, I want to use you now. I want to use you now. It might go 2 or 3 days. It might go 2 or 3 weeks. It might go 2 or 3 years. But God will put it upon your heart that He will want to use you. Amen. You might be praying and praise God. That's one way we please God. Is they say, God, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? How can I help? Show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to do. It might just be helping your neighbor. It might be taking someone to the doctor. It might be giving someone a lift to church. Amen. It might be going and witnessing to someone, a testimony. God's pleased with testimonies. You know that?
Amen.
Man, God loves testimonies that tells about the goodness of God. I don't think I've ever heard a bad testimony in this church. Now, I've heard some bad ones. I heard one woman stand up and talk about her cow. You know? And I thought, now what's that doing to glorify God? Now, maybe she thought it was glorifying God. I couldn't get anything out of that. But it might have been. I don't know. You know, I don't know what her heart was, but I didn't get much out of it. But I've heard testimonies here at this church that glorify God.
Amen.
Amen. It's not about glorifying us. It's about glorifying Him. The Bible says, "Lord, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. That's what it's all about. It's not, listen, we got to let our light shine to glorify Him. That's where it comes into play. It's not much different whenever we're trying to please God than it is when we're trying to please our boss, or we're trying to please others, or trying to please ourselves. There's a reward waiting. But God says, I want to be first. God says, I want to be first. He says He'll have no other gods before Him, right? God put that in there for a reason. Danny didn't write it. You know, men of God put this down. God gave it by inspiration to them. Amen. And listen, you might think about that a little bit, and you might think, well, okay, what's got to happen for us to get to the point where we please God? What's got to happen? We might be pleasing Him right now. Amen. I believe we are pleasing Him right now in this house of worship. Amen. That we're lifting up holy hands, that we're minding the Spirit and standing up and singing when God puts it upon our heart. You wouldn't do it like me sitting over there trying to figure out a way to get out of it. Don't tell me none of y'all have never done that. Huh? I know y'all have done that too, praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a blessing. When I sat over there and I said, Lord, okay, I'm going to do it. He stands up, He jumps up and starts singing, "There's coming a day." I tell you what, I could have jumped plumb up to this aisle. And I'm 59 going on 60. I believe I could have made it. I believe I could have made it. And I'll tell you why I think I could have made it. Because I felt the Spirit of God moved all through me. And I said, Lord, I know You're in control now. I know that I can get... I'm like Brother Will. It's really not in me to stand up in front of a group and talk, praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. I know in whom I have believed, praise God. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know in whom I have believed. I have confidence in the Lord Jesus. You know how you're going to please God? Have confidence in Him, Brother Ray. I got confidence in Him. He's going to deliver me one day, Brother. Golly, man, I tell you what, I feel good tonight. I know that He's going to deliver. I know that He's never broken a promise.
Amen.
I know that He's never broken a promise. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. I know how am I persuaded? I'm persuaded by His Word that He's never leave me and never forsake me. Amen. He'll be with me even unto the end. How do I know that? Praise God, I've got confidence in Him. Whenever I tell you, some of you, most of y'all know my story. But whenever I rolled that ATV over on my arm and it tore my arm off and I was bent underneath that thing, I'm going to tell you something, it was good then. It was good then, Brother Mike, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't have to wait until I was under there and then to call upon Him. He might have not heard me. But I'm going to tell you something, church. He heard my prayers. Amen. He heard my prayers over there when no one else could hear my prayers. He done took care of me. He already had help on the way, praise God. And I'm going to tell you something, church. I told God, I've made Him a promise a long time ago. And I didn't make a deal with Him. I made Him a promise. I said, Lord, if you take my life, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave here. That's the confidence I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm ready to go. I'm a winner either way. I can leave here knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me and set me up. He's going to set me over on His right hand. And I'm going to hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something, the church. Listen, I've got that confidence in Him today. I had that confidence in Him when I had that thing laying over on me and all the blood was draining out of my body. And I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. Just comfort my family. Take me on home if you want to, God. But if you leave me with one arm, I'll still go and I'll preach your word. And I'll raise one arm up and I'll say, praise God with it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. But God was even more merciful than that. Because listen, there wasn't nothing but a string holding it on. And God put the power right back into that arm. And I can raise both of them here tonight. And I can say, praise God. I can say, praise Him. Because not Danny, but praise Him. Hallelujah. Are we doing things to please God? We look at a nation of this day and time, and we don't know if it's pleasing God or not. I don't believe it is. I know this whole war deal about same-sex marriage and those kinds of things, that's not pleasing God. That's not pleasing Him at all. You know, we started down that path a long time ago. Remember when the towers fell? You remember when those towers fell? You remember when they drove two jets into two towers, almost, I believe it was somewhere around 3,000 people got burned to death or jumped out the windows to keep from getting burned to death? I believe we were a nation. You say, well, did God cause that? Let me tell you something. We keep kicking God. We just keep kicking Him out the curb like that. Keep kicking Him out the back door. You know what? God said, okay, I'll just go on. What happens when God leaves? Nothing but evil. When God's not in the picture, there's nothing but evil. Amen. And evil will take over. You see, there's coming a day. There's coming a day, Brother Jeremy.
Amen.
And there'll be no more heartaches.
Amen.
And no more sorrow. And no more pain. That'll be the ones that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That'll be for those. Praise God. But there's also coming a day, my friends, a day of wrath that we need to be ready and we need to be prepared for. You say, well, God, He's a God of love. Let me tell you something. He's a God of justice too. He's a God of justice. You can eat the good of the land if you be willing and obey. But it says that you will die by the sword. Hallelujah. If you refuse and rebel. How many times have you refused and you rebelled? Lost friend, if you're here tonight, this might be your last calling. You say, well, you don't know that. I know I don't. You know, God's the only one that knows that. It might be your last calling. He may be calling the funeral home for you in the morning. You don't know that. I draw my last breath tonight, Brother Jerry. I may have all kinds of plans that I'm going to do tomorrow, next week. Oh, I've got plans ahead. But you know what? I have no promise of that. There's no promise of that. You say, well, He's trying to scare me now. No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to tell you that, listen, if you don't serve a living and just God, if you don't serve Him, you're serving the devil.
Amen.
You're serving the devil. If you serve the devil, you're going to end up living with the devil forever and forever. Are you pleasing God? Are you pleasing God with your prayer life? Are you pleasing God with your testimonies? Are you pleasing God? You know, it's a little bit more than taking up my space on the pew right there. You know, I could come in here and I could just take up my space. Like Brother Jeremy said, punch the time clock. Oh, I got that one done. I'm out of the way now. God's got that taken care of. He's checked off and I got 482 more that I got to make. It's not like that. God goes with me when I leave this door. And God goes with me when I go to Walmart. God goes with me when I go down the road. God goes with me everywhere I go, Brother Jerry. And I'm going to tell you something, church, you better hope He's going with you.
Amen.
If you want to please Him, He needs to be with you. Walk with Him. Live for Him. That's what that means. Not so much walk. And I'm going to tell you something, if you're living for Him and you put that in the same context there of walking, you should be making some progress. You should be making some progress. You should be growing in strength. And you should be gaining some ground. Amen? And it looks like sometimes that we don't gain any ground. We go two steps forward and three back sometimes. But you know what? Just keep pressing toward that mark. Amen. Keep pressing toward it because God's got a prize for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has made a way. He says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way we're going to get there. You know, 14 years ago or so, this is that 9/11 week coming up. I think it's about 14 years ago when the towers did fall. How many of you remember what kind of shape our country was in at that point in time? You remember what the economy was like? You remember what gas prices were like? Some of you do. You remember what we were doing in the Supreme Court of the land, just what it's doing right now? Making laws that perverts God's Word. You know, they talked about lifting up Kim Davis. We need to lift up Kim Davis because she's standing for what's right. I tell you what, can we do that? Could I do that? I asked myself that today. Could I do that? Now, I could refuse. I don't know, there's no way they can make me sign one of them things. But would I go to jail for what I believe? That's a tough one, isn't it? You think Kim Davis is being pleasing to God? Taking a stand for Christians? Taking a stand for all Christians? Say, hey, I believe what God's Word says.
Amen.
Over and above. Listen, I will abide by man's laws, but they do not supersede God's law. We need to understand that. We are to abide by man's law, but they do not supersede. When they supersede God's law, no, we've got to take a stand. We've got to say no. But go to jail? It's been an easy thing to resign, right?
Amen.
I heard a preacher get on there and say, well, she should have done this. She should have done just what I did. Whenever they brought two of them in here to get married, I just stepped aside and I said, no, I'm just going to resign. I'm going to step down. You know what? That's exactly what the devil wants us to do. You know, God never made us that we couldn't take a stand against something. Amen? But every time we take a stand against something, we're haters. They portray us as people who hate them. I don't hate them. Listen, I hate drug deals. I hate drugs that are destroying our young people. But I don't hate those people that are hooked on those addictions. I don't hate them. If I did, I'd hate my own daughter. That 7 years ago, she finally said, oh, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. You see what I'm saying? We're not to hate them. We're not to hate those that do that. God doesn't hate that person. God didn't look down. He looked down at me, my friend, whenever I was yet in sin, and Christ died for me. He died for you.
Amen.
And He died for them. And there's hope for them. We need to lift them up in prayer and pray for them and hope that they repent. Hope that they make things right with God. And when they do, praise God, God can get glory from it.
Amen.
You heard Jenny's testimony before, you know that God gets glory from that. Praise the Lord. Are we pleasing to God? Or pleasing to God, sometimes the problem is we put God too far down on the ladder. We put Him too far down on the ladder. We want our family up here. We want all the things of life that makes us happy and pleases us, pleases our friends, pleases our family. And listen, God wants you to have those things. I want you to understand, God wants you to have things. Amen? God wants you to be happy.
Amen.
God does not want you to be sad and walk around with a big sad look on your face all the time. We ought to be the happiest people in the world because
Amen.
We're saved and got a home in heaven waiting on us. Amen? But we got to get God in perspective. In order to please Him, we got to put Him up on a ladder. How we do that? It takes a little faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. See, we've got to move God up in His rightful place. In order to please God, we've got to put Him first in our life. Have we been pleasing Him? You might please Him by coming. Being faithful to church, I believe, is pleasing to God. But we need to come with the right heart. If we just sit over there and it goes in one ear out the other and we're just punching that time clock. I love what Brother Jeremy said there Wednesday night. Church, we never need to get above. We never need to get above those lawn chair days. Those days when this place was being built and put together and there was wires and junk hanging everywhere. It was nasty, and it just, I mean, I would shower twice as long when I went home after I worked in this place, because I'm going to tell you something. It was nasty. Amen. But we never need to get above those days to where people have a longing for God and want God so bad in their life that they're willing to come in and sit on a dirty floor. They're willing to bring a lawn chair, whether the carpet's down, ain't nothing here but just concrete. We need to be willing to do that. We never need to get above that. I think that's why God is pleased and God is blessing as much as what He is, because we have that attitude. You know, we need to have that positive attitude to please God. I thought about that 9/11 tragedy. And I thought about all the problems that was going on at that time in the country. And I thought about, you know, it could have been averted. It could have been averted possibly if we would have been a country, a nation, a community that wanted to please God instead of please themselves and please the world. You see, we'd turned to that. We've gone to that. The whole nation has. And we're going, here we are 14 years later, and what are we doing now? We're putting county clerks in jail because they say, I can't issue them a license because that's against my religious belief. Where are we headed? We're not pleasing God with that. We're not pleasing God. We're not pleasing God if we don't put God first in our life. Amen? I'll ask someone to get a song. I mentioned to you before, what pleases God? Confidence in Him, faith in Him, our testimonies, our endurance. Even the death of one of His saints pleases God. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. If you die in the Lord, that's a blessing. Amen. Pleasing God is not a whole lot different than pleasing ourselves or pleasing our spouse, pleasing, just buying things to please ourselves, our employer, our friends, or whoever it might be. It involves one major thing, obedience. If you're here tonight, lost friend, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what it's going to come down to please God. Your obedience. Your obedience that you have heard the Word of God preached. You have heard it from the book. That's what Paul was preaching right there to them. How to please God. Not to please men, but to please God. You know, I know people that hadn't come to the altar because of their friends. What their friends might think of them. Oh, they're weak. They got, you know, that's shameful, you know, to go up in front of a crowd like that and bow down. You know what? God's pleased when you take that step of faith and you come forward.